speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The next question that has been presented deals with the gap theory and the day-age theory. And we don't hear too much about this nowadays, but at the same time, the school of thought is still out there amongst those who want to buy into theistic evolution. Theistic, theos meaning God. Evolution, of course, means the theory of evolution. And theistic evolution means is that there are people who believe in God, who also believe in creation, but yet at the same time, they want to put the timetable of evolution in the creation itself. So the gap theory and the as well as the day-age theory have been developed by individuals in order for them to be able to have these schools of thought in and around theistic evolution. To do this, Genesis must be interpreted so as to allow vast ages of time to pass within the record of chapter 1. The gap theory and the age theory have been developed as attempts to reconcile the suppositions of geologic time with the days of creation. Let's define these measures. When we think about the gap theory and this idea that vast ages of time must elapse in order for this theory concerning evolution to fit in to the timetable of creation into the idea of what the Bible teaches, they try to take the word bara and asa and to say that in this, that bara is only something that God can do, which bara means to take from nothing and to create something, but it also is interchangeable with asa, which means to recreate. And in this, as you read through the book of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, all the way down through verse 26, 27, you will see that God interchanges from time to time these two Hebrew words. So, hence in this, the idea that God has recreated, because this is where the concept comes in, is that vast ages of time has passed by, and therefore God has saw, as they would see it, recreated things because it is deteriorated in what form or fashion. It goes on and is developed from, as they would see, two Hebrew words that we translate waste and void. They look to those Hebrew words and say that when they are combined together, is that the earth became waste and void. But friends, according to what we find not only in the context of those two Hebrew words, but then also the other Hebrew word that factors into this equation, is that the tense of this final word actually will never be translated became, but rather was. Well, what does that mean? If you plug it to the context of what we find in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and verse 2, and even in verse 3, the earth was void or formless from the time in which God created it. It didn't become like that because of eons and eons of time that passed, but rather God created it as such. Why did He create it as such? Because we're in the elementary stages of creation in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, and hence God is going to define His creation, and God's going to develop His creation as we move forward in day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, and day 6. Hence, there's nothing strange to the understanding of the biblical context that God would have it start waste and void, without any form. And there's a reason for that, is because He's forming it as He goes. Then also, whenever it comes to the day-age period, is that people say, well, you know, days back then in creation did not represent real 24-hour days like what we have today. Friends, as you study from the context of what you find in Genesis chapter 1, God introduces a 24-hour day concept from the context within itself just by the phraseology that is found there. You say, how so? When we conclude a day, God says morning and day was the first or morning and night were the first day. And the second, morning and night was the second day. Third, morning and night was the third day. You say, Kevin, it's a little redundant. Yes, it is. But repetition is how we get things, correct? How do we define a 24-hour day today? How do we know the difference between the days? Well, a lot of times we'll say morning and night. And whenever we conclude the one, we know that we've entered into the other. And hence, we have the clock on the wall that helps us to understand what time of the day or what time of the night we are in. In this, then, let's go to the Hebrew terminology. There is a Hebrew term that is given in Genesis chapter 1 with regard to the creation of the day. And that word is yom. And people who are scholarly in nature, yet at the same time, they are wanting their cake and eat it too, to be able to have evolution and God, they say that that word yom does not represent a 24-hour day. Friends, I want to draw our attention to what is taught in Exodus chapter 20, specifically in verse 11. Verses 8 through 11 covers the context, but specific to verse 11, God is giving the Ten Commandments unto the children of Israel. And He identifies in verse 11 that in 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the seventh belongs to the Lord. Hence, they are to bless, the Sabbath has been blessed, and they are to keep it holy. But know what He said. He says, for in 6 days you will labor and do all your work. Guess what that Hebrew word is? Yom. How would the Jews have translated that? Not eons and eons of time, but rather 6 literal 24-hour days. God expects us to labor and to do all of our work, and then on the seventh, He has hallowed it. It is holy before Him, and we are to keep that. It was a 24-hour day in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, and friends, it is also a 24-hour day in Genesis chapter 1. The gap theory as well as the day-age theory do not hold water in regard to what we find in the Scripture.